ladies and gentlemen. Today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The world is broken without the internet, really. I'm very uncomfortable right now.
That's how Skynet wants you to feel.
I have to rely on something and then they'll take it away.
I do, you know, we are talking over the internet, though. That's the only thing you can use, though, I guess.
He just blew his mind.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty cast?
Hitler. Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast and part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Today is March 12th, 2017, and this is episode 233, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're discussing the an up and down week for the Pacers. Before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us on the social medias, you can do it here. We are at Undebeatables on Twitter. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. And you give us an email, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Glad to see everybody again through the interwebs, I think, is how we're communicating. Special shout out to Elaine and Ken, who were my hosts in my trip to Asheville. Lovely town, lovely people. And Ken is a huge NBA fan. He's actually a Hawks fan, so we were rehashing the way that we took them down in dramatic fashion. It's very satisfying for me. So, shout out to you guys.
Sure he had as much fun as you.
Yeah.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? A couple shout-outs this week. One to the internet. It's a beautiful thing, and you don't realize how much you appreciate it until it's gone. Having a network outage in my neighborhood right now, so I'm Skyping through a phone. I don't even know how that works, but I guess it's working.
It's like Stone Age technology. It's crazy.
And hopefully this all comes out all right. And then my second shout out is to the 2000s. The Pacers are celebrating the 2000s tonight at the Fieldhouse. You get a Danny Granger bobblehead doll if you show up, so you will not hear about that until tomorrow. That's weird. So today it was yesterday. My mind just got blown.
Oh, yeah. Twice in the same sentence.
Happy daylight savings, Colson.
Thank you.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, fellas? I'd like to shout out to shout outs.
Yeah. Shoutouts are great.
Meta.
So you guys, this we may have mentioned this earlier on one of the previous shows, but Andrew Bogut, the Cavs' new hire, broke his leg, out for probably the season. What do you guys think? Is this going to hurt the Cavs? Or, you know, he only played, I think, less than a minute, so maybe they never had him in the first place.
So, well, bizarre.
Yeah. It does hurt them, I think. They're a team that's been battling injuries all year, and the biggest concern is rim defense, you know? He was going to be their anchor rim defender, extra rim defender for them, extra set of fouls, extra guy to beat up on Steph Curry in the finals, and also would have, you know, helped take the minute burden away from LeBron at some level, most importantly, and the other guys, right? So, yeah, it hurts them, I think. I mean, you're right, they basically never had him, so it's not like a crushing blow, but they're not as good as they would be with him, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think though, that poaching a guy from the previous championship team, which this wasn't really was. It was a little roundabout. Like, he's not exactly Anderson Varejão. But because the Warriors lost with Anderson Varejão, I always assumed that the Cavaliers would then lose because of Bogut. So they might have snake bit themselves and then immediately lost the guy. So maybe it will hurt them.
This is kind of a karma thing?
Yeah, some sort of karmic technicality that they're now subject to.
Well, I thought this was a great pickup for them. You know, Bogut's a big guy who, you know, can pass the ball, set solid screens, yeah, get some rebounds, and they're thin up front. I mean, they've got Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, and you're right, LeBron playing big, and they could use some more big guys. And I don't know, have they picked anybody else up? Who's out there? Like, anybody want any Larry Sanders?
They're talking about it.
Yeah, it's not as good as Bogut, I'll tell you that.
Can we dust Jermaine O'Neal off again?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Bogut's probably not going to return, so we'll see if
maybe ever.
The Cavs are able to. Yeah, no, he's the latter stages of his career, so he may never be back. But when the Cavs win again, he will get his another ring, so that's good for him.
Does he get like a 1 minute? Like ring
the,
somehow
the
like
ring a, itself oh. is just an asterisk. It's just a big diamond asterisk.
I was on the team.
Oh yeah, go ahead whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
So we had three Pacers games this past week. The first one was Monday. We were in Charlotte. Actually, we saw this game, but we have not done a show about it yet. So we do want to talk a little bit more in depth about it here. Pacers lose to the Hornets 100-88. From the Pacers side, Paul George was basically the only thing that was going on. From there, Kemba Walker had a fantastic game. Jason, what else did you see besides PG putting it down from the Pacers side?
I think I saw Cody Zeller just completely house Miles Turner, which was disappointing to me. I mean, what was super disappointing about this was that we're coming off the win in Atlanta, where we hit a really dramatic game winner, and come out the next night, granted it's a back-to-back, but it didn't seem like anybody wanted to play basketball, and that's a frustrating thing. Yeah, and we were just getting outworked, basically, on both ends of the floor. Fall down huge. You know, we're down 20-some at halftime. I thought it was a nice response out of the locker room. You know, we beat them 29-16 in the third quarter and kind of crawl our way back into it, but never really got in legitimate striking range, I wouldn't say.
It's tough to play from
the
behind.
Other guy that was killing us was Nick Batum. We had no answer for that guy. He's really good at basketball. So, yeah, disappointing loss, no help for PG. You could see he was visibly frustrated in this game.
He was very upset. I mean, he scores 36 and the rest of the team puts up, you know, what, we end up with 84 as a team? Like, that's
88.
88. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's not enough help.
Yeah. That was just a really bad first half. I don't know what that was about.
I thought they did contain Batum more in the second half, but in the first, first half at least, he was, he looked like an all NBA player in the first half.
And Kemba Walker's really, really good.
Oh yeah, he's great. I just thought from the tip they were just way more aggressive. You know, getting to the foul line. I mean, the other storyline in this game, actually, I didn't even read I assume that Paul George and Nate McMillan had comments to the media about the three free throws that the Pacers took all game. But from what I was seeing from my vantage point, we just weren't being aggressive. And if you're not aggressive, you're not going to get calls. You're not going to get to the line. You know, they were never, not only did we not get to the line, but they were like never in danger of being in the penalty in this game, I don't think.
No.
It was a ton of jump shots. Like, they weren't even, you know, I thought there were a few calls here and there that could have gone the Pacers' way, but for the most part, I don't think the referees did a poor job.
Yeah, Charlotte's just not that, I mean, they're a fine team, but they're not so good that we should just, you know, get shut down for a half a basketball. And you're right, Jason. You would think that we'd have an emotional upswing after the Atlanta thing, but we came out looking defeated. And, I mean, we're never really in this game.
Disappointed.
Well, Pacers get the next day off, come back home Wednesday, March 8th. They take on the Pistons, and they win this one 115-98. Pacers looked fantastic this game. Paul George just hitting shots, everybody hitting shots. That was a really fun one. It was a good, nice response to that game that they lost. Harper, what was your favorite part about this one?
Being back at home, apparently. We're every bit as good in this one as we were bad in the one before. Played well from the tip. Got great contributions up and down the box score. This is a solid basketball game. And, you know, we held Andre Drummond to 15 boards, which I think is an improvement for us. So
totally.
It's a really solid effort. Apparently we just needed a day off. Everybody needs a day off now and then.
Yeah, it's a good bounce back. I mean, a disappointing loss at the end of a long road trip. I mean, we were able to go home in the middle of that road trip. It was so long. But, you know, five games on the road, it's nice to have, be back in the friendly confines of Banker Life Fieldhouse. But I thought the story of this was just taking care of the basketball. I think we turned it over like two times in the first half, five overall. Like, if you're not giving away the ball, that gives you more shots. And I just thought we looked good. I was excited after the disappointing loss in Charlotte that we were respond this way.
Yeah,
I didn't get to see this game. I just saw highlights, and the thing that shocked me was Thaddeus Young was actually making shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we watched the games in both Atlanta and Charlotte live, he did not look comfortable. He looked like he was really hurt. So was this, he was just getting layups in this game?
He was close to the basket, little flip shots. Gotcha. Yeah. But I mean, he was active, and that matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But his wrist is not right still. I think in the next game he airballs a free throw. I mean, he's just
great.
The shooting is not there for him.
Another good sign. It's a good team win here. He has six guys in double figures. All the starters except for Miles Turner in that group. But the mood, to me in general, the mood was much better than the Charlotte game. They looked, kind of deflated much of the game.
Yeah, they looked like they enjoyed playing basketball together in this game.
Yeah. And PG hit a three right before timeout, did a little shimmy, just kind of stood there with his follow-through at the three-point line. So, a little silly, but glad to see them having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd rather him shimmy instead of be like, thank God I hit a shot, which we've talked about earlier in the season.
Well, now I want to take just a moment here and give a word from our sponsors. This week, we have Audible.com. And for listeners of The Unbeatables, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. They got tons and tons and tons of audiobooks. Anything that you're into, they will have for sure. You got a couple books you might want to check out. Jason, you've been checking one out. It's called This Is How You Lose Her.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, I've been reading on my vacation there, reading this book by Juno Diaz, I think is how you say his name. And it's pretty good. I like his writing. It's very, it's kind of Spanglishy. So he mixes in Spanish and English. And this one is a bunch of vignettes, little short stories about relationships and how they go awry. So it's very uplifting, really.
Nice vacation read.
But it's a quick read. So, and I his previous book, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde, I also recommend that one.
Very cool. I'm actually reminded of probably one of my first audiobooks. I looked it up today. It was from 2003. But it's an Al Franken book. It's called Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. It's a fair and balanced look at the right. I was very informed and entertained and laughed very, very hard through that book. You know, and now he's a politician. So this was when he was just a comedian. But he has moved up in the world.
Or down.
Very true. But that, if you want to take advantage of this free trial, go to www.audibletrial.com/almighty. Again, that's audibletrial.com/almighty to get your free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. Next up, Pacers still at home. I'm sorry, on the road this time, taking on the Bucks. They lose this one 85-99 on Friday, March 10th. This one, Pacers looked a little slow, a little sloppy. Colson, why were the Bucks able to take down the Pacers?
You know, I thought we came out looking all right. You know, I think we jumped out to a 10-0 lead. We were playing with energy. You know, we end up with a 5-point lead at half, but it was a double figure lead earlier in the second quarter. So the Bucks did a nice job of closing the half, and then just clamped down defensively in the second half. They're just so long, and we just got out of our offense. We could not score. This was really deflating to just, you know, not be able to put up points at all. I mean, we didn't break 20 in either quarter in the second half. So, you know, you got to put up points to win in this league, even against the Bucks.
They just clamped down in the second half. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, they're a good team, but they shouldn't be able to take us that far out of our game. We end up 2 of 18 from three. Just not going to win a lot of games like that.
But hey, we out rebounded them.
Yeah.
Wee.
I know that their bench did a better job than ours. You know, they've got a couple guys that I like on the bench. Greg Monroe, who's there now and you know, was scored 18 points, and you know, he's tough to deal with. You know, he's a, I guess, borderline starter, but he's tough to deal with for somebody coming off the bench. You know, tons of rebounds and he's gonna, you know, take high percentage shots. He was 6 of 7 for the game. Plus 18 on his plus minus. So, and Jason Terry, the vet, who's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He was pretty good too.
Spencer Hawes got some burn.
Yeah, I like Spencer Hawes.
I think what you know, this game says to me is the you know, puts us right back in the place that we've been all season, right? I mean, we go on these stretches where we win some big games. You know, we were real high on our road trip because we'd had a good stretch coming out of the All-Star break in a really tough stretch. You know, we played on the road against some of the best teams in the league, you know, we beat Houston, barely lost to San Antonio, beat Atlanta. These are not easy things to do, and then, you know, dropping these games that need to be won to be a playoff team. You know, we just end up being a 500 team, and that's, it's reflected in our standings. You know, yeah. We're 33-32. That's pretty accurate. Like, we have moments of brilliance, but then, you know, you can't put up, 35 points in the second half against the Bucks. Like, I understand that they're long and they can play good defense, but they're not going to make the playoffs. You know, these are games that we need to win, even on the road, and we're just having trouble getting it together.
Isn't this just a return to normalcy, though?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. This is just such a confusing team. Has been all year. I can't get a read on them.
And if you want to take, maybe we can take a softer view and say that it's just a matchup thing. Maybe we just match up horribly with the Bucks. I mean,
sure.
Whereas flip side, we match up really well with the Pistons. You know,
sure.
We didn't mention it, but we swept the Pistons this year. We beat them 4 out of 4 times. And now Milwaukee has beaten us 3 out of 3 times. So,
do we play them again?
Yes.
Ah, darn it. Yeah.
So I chalked that one up as an L. Yeah. And these things are super important, especially since, you know, you say the Bucks aren't going to make the playoffs, but the Bucks are, what, a game and a half behind us or something like that?
Right.
Two and a half games or something?
That is true.
I mean, yeah. And they have the tiebreaker. As of right now, the Bucks are in the playoffs.
Right.
Did the Bulls fall out? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is where
it's going to be a race to mediocrity, basically, on the stretch here.
But I mean, to Colson's point, though, I mean, it's a bit of a roller coaster week, right? You get the Atlanta high, immediately you get the Charlotte low, then you get the Pistons high, and then you get the Bucks low. Like, didn't feel like a real consistent week, but that's just what I've come to expect, right?
Our identity is inconsistency. Right?
Yes,
that's the theme of the season.
Yep. Right.
Well, I mean, I think Nate McMillan could address this. By just lying to the team and telling them that they lost the game before.
That'll
fix it all up. Yeah. I think this race, the 6-9 race in the Eastern Conference, is going to be just a thriller. See how all these teams shake out.
Well, so I think I had said on a previous pod that we had the toughest schedule remaining after the All-Star break. But after that 7-game stretch, which we came out on that 5-game road trip and we had to play Memphis at home, now it's broken to where we're actually the 15th toughest schedule for the rest of the season. So we have a chance to, play 500 ball.
I was going to say, we have the most mediocre schedule left for the most mediocre team.
Right. So we're a 500 team playing a 500 schedule. It's going to be great.
Well, I mean, that pretty much guarantees us the playoffs in the East, though, right?
No, it does. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. We get to play Philly twice. You know, there's man.
Buckle in, guys.
Yeah, there's only 2 games in between the Pacers and the 10 spot. So,
yeah.
Well, I want the guys to stay positive. Let's take care of each other, take care of the basketball. You know, let's win some games. Let's stay positive for these guys. We may be a 500 team, but if we can play 500 ball, we can make the playoffs. So just stay strong, stay steady at 500. Come on, guys.
I'm gonna. I don't know if I can stay positive. I can stay mediocre. How about that?
So to do that, the Pacers have a chance this week. By the time you hear this, they will have played Miami and gotten their Danny Granger bobbleheads. So hopefully that's a win. Tuesday at the New York Knicks. Totally winnable game, but it's on the road. Wednesday, second out of a back-to-back versus Charlotte. We owe those guys a win.
And it's our house, right? We play better at
our house, yeah.
Yep.
And then a few days off, and then do Sunday at Toronto. And then I think there's a Monday. I forget who they play. It's another back-to-back.
So. Utah at home.
Great. That's a... chalk that schedule up.
But I mean that week is very, you know, 500-ish. We've got a chance there to go 500.
I mean, we got to take care of business against teams that we can beat. So the Miami's, the Knicks, and Charlotte.
Although Miami is one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They're won like 17 of their last 20. So
sure. Yeah.
No, they've been great. They've been beating everybody. They've been beating good teams and bad teams on this recent swing. We should probably take some notes on that.
Mm-hmm. That's what professional basketball teams do.
Well, I feel like this is a little bit like Murphy's Law, you know. Whatever can go wrong will. This is just it feels similar to Cole's.
Weren't you just the staying positive guy like 30 seconds ago?
Well, no. Well, it, 30 seconds. It reminds me of Cole's Law. You guys heard of that one?
What, the clothing store?
No, it's Cole's Law. It's cabbage and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was trying to make it better with a joke. Didn't work.
Finish this.
Let's just stay positive, guys. Oh, stay positive.
I just got it. We got to go.
You just got it?
Yes. You didn't tell me it was a joke.
That's true. I did not prep it as a joke. It confuses you. I'm going to start putting it in show notes.
Thank you. Do that.
Gonna link that would mean you'd have to access the script.
I don't know how to do that. I also don't have the internet.
But you do. You can click the link that we send you.
Mm. You guys send me links?
We do.
I pod from my gut, Joey.
Yes.
I don't think we properly vetted him.
Well, until Thursday, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Whatever our name is. You can follow us there and give us a thumbs up. And then you can check out our, I'd say, legendary Facebook Live videos. Our website is theundebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. And you can review us on iTunes. That really helps new listeners find our show. Give us a review there. It really helps us stay motivated to do it. Colson's very finicky. We got some t-shirts for sale.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sick-Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
They got to get the internet back at your place, man.
Would that make me sing better?
I think so. Do you have Pandora?
Is it like practice?
Yeah.
Did you? I sent you that picture of it was like Green Man Brewery. And they had
it made me very sad.
They had a Kermit the Frog puppet that was hanging from a noose. And so I said, Colson's not going to like this. So of course I sent him a picture.
That's right. And I did not like it. It was very sad.
Why would someone do that?
I don't know.
I can't explain a lot of stuff about the South. I had a good. That trip was fun though. I had a good time.
Yeah. Is that our under Googleables? What's up with the South?
Anybody know what's going on with the South?
South. What do we know?
Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a freshly minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.